now we are ready to start. Listen carefully. You will hear each recording twice.
Part 1. You will listen to a lecture about the helix shape. For questions 1 to 15, complete the sentences with no more than 3 words / phrases.
I'd like to turn now to the object which is the main point of this talk, the helix. This is a fascinating mathematical object which touches many parts of our lives. Movement, the natural world, the manufactured world, and our genetic makeup are all connected to the shape of the helix. A helix is a type of three-dimensional curve that goes around a central cylindrical shape in the form of a spiral, like a corkscrew or a spiral staircase. The helix is a very popular shape in nature because it is very compact. In fact, helices are sometimes referred to as nature's space saver. In architecture too, the helix shape of a spiral staircase is an attractive option in buildings where space is very restricted. The most renowned type of helix is probably the double helix of DNA, or deoxyribonucleic acid. DNA is made of two helices that curve around each other, a bit like a twisted ladder. DNA contains the genetic information, or code, that determines the development and functioning of all known living things. The helix shape is a very efficient way to store a long molecule like DNA in the limited space of a cell. There are different types of helices. Helices can twist clockwise, right-handed, or anti-clockwise, left-handed. An interesting experiment is to hold a clockwise helix, such as a corkscrew, up to a mirror. The clockwise helix appears to become counterclockwise. We can perceive examples of helices in many areas of our world. Spiral staircases, cables, screws, and ropes can be right-handed or left-handed helices. A helix that goes around a cone is called a conical helix. Examples of conical helices are screws or the famous spiral ramp designed by the architect Frank Lloyd Wright in the Guggenheim Museum in New York. Helices are also prevalent in the natural world. The horns of certain animals, viruses, seashells, and the structure of plants, flowers, and leaves can all contain helices. The human umbilical cord is, in fact, a triple helix. With the discovery that the helix is the shape of the DNA molecule, it is not surprising that the helix is found in so many areas. It's one of the most natural shapes in nature. Let's turn our attention now to the mathematical description of the helix. You'll need a pen and paper for the next part of the talk, as I'm going to give you some variables to write down. Take your time to notice the different sections.
Now you will hear the recording again.
I'd like to turn now to the object which is the main point of this talk, the helix. This is a fascinating mathematical object which touches many parts of our lives. Movement, the natural world, the manufactured world, and our genetic makeup are all connected to the shape of the helix. A helix is a type of three-dimensional curve that goes around a central cylindrical shape in the form of a spiral, like a corkscrew or a spiral staircase. The helix is a very popular shape in nature because it is very compact. In fact, helices are sometimes referred to as nature's space saver. In architecture too, the helix shape of a spiral staircase is an attractive option in buildings where space is very restricted. The most renowned type of helix is probably the double helix of DNA, or deoxyribonucleic acid. DNA is made of two helices that curve around each other, a bit like a twisted ladder. DNA contains the genetic information, or code that determines the development and functioning of all known living things. The helix shape is a very efficient way to store a long molecule like DNA in the limited space of a cell. There are different types of helices. Helices can twist clockwise, right-handed, or anti-clockwise, left-handed. An interesting experiment is to hold a clockwise helix, such as a corkscrew, up to a mirror. The clockwise helix appears to become counterclockwise. We can perceive examples of helices in many areas of our world. Spiral staircases, cables, screws and ropes can be right-handed or left-handed helices. A helix that goes around a cone is called a conical helix. Examples of conical helices are screws or the famous spiral ramp designed by the architect Frank Lloyd Wright in the Guggenheim Museum in New York. Helices are also prevalent in the natural world. The horns of certain animals, viruses, seashells, and the structure of plants, flowers, and leaves can all contain helices. The human umbilical cord is, in fact, a triple helix. With the discovery that the helix is the shape of the DNA molecule, it is not surprising that the helix is found in so many areas. It's one of the most natural shapes in nature. Let's turn our attention now to the mathematical description of the helix. You'll need a pen and paper for the next part of the talk, as I'm going to give you some variables to write down. Take your time to notice the different sections.
That is the end of part one. Now turn to part two.
Part two. You will hear a radio interview with a ghost hunter called Carlene Belfort. Mark the letter A, B, C, or D on your answer sheet to indicate the correct answer to each of the following questions from 16 to 25.
Well, we're privileged to have in the studio with us today Carlene Belfort, who's a professional ghost hunter. Carlene, that's an unusual hobby. How did you get into it?
Well, when I was about 8 years old, my grandmother died and my family moved into her house. And I kept hearing all sorts of strange noises in the night. I told my parents, and they told me I was imagining things, but I knew it was ghosts. So you could say I started ghost hunting whenever I walked round the house alone at night.
So what did you need in order to be a ghost hunter? Do you have some special psychic powers?
Well, some people, mediums that is, have the gift to communicate with people who have passed away, or at least they claim to do that. But no, I don't claim to have any special powers. Ghost hunters aren't the same as mediums. We use audio recorders, cameras, and electromagnetic devices to detect the presence of ghosts. But I think it helps if you have an open mind and a spirit of adventure.
So, what sorts of people ask you for your services?
Well, as I said, I don't claim to communicate with ghosts. I do get phone calls from bereaved people who want to communicate with their lost ones, but I have to turn them away. That's not what I do. No, my clients are those people who hear or see things in their homes and are worried that they might be going crazy. They call me in and I can put their minds at rest. Of course, I also get the odd few who are desperate to have a ghost in their homes and interpret every creak in their house as a possible visitor.
So you don't find ghosts everywhere you look?
No, not at all.
So how do you detect the presence of ghosts?
Well, sometimes it's just a feeling. Something that makes your hair stand on end. Or there may be a sudden drop in temperature. But the most conclusive way to do it is to get some sort of proof. So we take photographs, voice recordings and meter readings.
And what has been your scariest moment?
Oh, there have been so many. I mean, there was one time when I was with my team and my teammate's camera stopped working. My camera was still functioning. So we took a picture of my colleague so that we could find out whether it was the spirits causing the malfunction. Oh, there have been so many. I mean, there was one time when I was with my team and my teammate's camera stopped working. My camera was still functioning, so I took a picture of my colleague so that we could find out whether it was spirits causing the malfunction. When we looked at the pictures later, we could see three streams of energy attacking the camera around my colleague's neck. That was certainly very spooky, But of course we didn't know that was going on when we took the picture. And when we looked at the photograph, we were far away. There are some hair-raising moments when you see things flying across the room of their own accord. But to tell the truth, there's nothing more frightening than being in the presence of true evil.
So there are evil ghosts out there?
Oh yes, most definitely.
Now, as I'm sure you're aware, there are a large number of sceptics out there, and I'm sure there'll be people among our listeners who believe that ghost hunting is a lot of nonsense and that you have no scientific basis for your work. What do you have to say to them?
Well, I can see why people with more scientific minds are unconvinced, as there have been a lot of hoaxes in the past. But now, with better technology, we're able to take a lot more data and evidence to back up our sightings, although I realise that some scientists are still not convinced by that. But, well, if they're not satisfied with the data, well, I'd like to invite them on a ghost hunt and see how they explain furniture flying across a room.
So it's not just a big con. You're not just filling up people's minds with a lot of nonsense in return for their money.
Well, I realise that some people see it like that, and that's a shame. But as I see it, I'm no different from a plumber or an electrician. If someone has a problem in their house, they call me, and I come over with the right equipment and some skills, and I can solve their problem and put their minds at rest.
So, what do you recommend that people should do if they feel their house is haunted?
They can contact me via my website and arrange for a consultation. And I'm also happy to take people out on hunts if they want a spooky experience.
Well, Carleen, it has been most interesting talking to you. Thank you very much for coming in.
Now you will hear the recording again.
Well, we're privileged to have in the studio with us today Carleen Belfort, who's a professional ghost hunter. Carleen, that's an unusual hobby. How did you get into it?
Well, when I was about 8 years old, my grandmother died and my family moved into her house. And I kept hearing all sorts of strange noises in the night. I told my parents, and they told me I was imagining things, but I knew it was ghosts. So you could say I started ghost hunting whenever I walked round the house alone at night.
So what did you need in order to be a ghost hunter? Do you have some special psychic powers?
Well, some people, mediums that is, have the gift to communicate with people who have passed away, or at least they claim to do that. But no, I don't claim to have any special powers. Ghost hunters aren't the same as mediums. We use audio recorders, cameras, and electromagnetic devices to detect the presence of ghosts. But I think it helps if you have an open mind and a spirit of adventure.
So, what sorts of people ask you for your services?
Well, as I said, I don't claim to communicate with ghosts. I do get phone calls from bereaved people who want to communicate with their lost ones, but I have to turn them away. That's not what I do. No, my clients are those people who hear or see things in their homes and are worried that they might be going crazy. They call me in and I can put their minds at rest. Of course, I also get the odd few who are desperate to have a ghost in their homes and interpret every creak in their house as a possible visitor.
So you don't find ghosts everywhere you look?
No, not at all.
So how do you detect the presence of ghosts?
Well, sometimes it's just a feeling. Something that makes your hair stand on end. Or there may be a sudden drop in temperature. But the most conclusive way to do it is to get some sort of proof. So we take photographs, voice recordings and meter readings.
And what has been your scariest moment?
Oh, there have been so many. I mean, there was one time when I was with my team and my teammate's camera stopped working. My camera was still functioning. So we took a picture of my colleague so that we could find out whether it was the spirits causing the malfunction. Oh, there have been so many. I mean, there was one time when I was with my team and my teammate's camera stopped working. My camera was still functioning, so I took a picture of my colleague so that we could find out whether it was spirits causing the malfunction. When we looked at the pictures later, we could see three streams of energy attacking the camera around my colleague's neck. That was certainly very spooky, but of course we didn't know that was going on when we took the picture, and when we looked at the photograph we were far away. There are some hair-raising moments when you see things flying across the room of their own accord. But to tell the truth, there's nothing more frightening than being in the presence of true evil.
So there are evil ghosts out there?
Oh yes, most definitely.
Now, as I'm sure you're aware, there are a large number of sceptics out there, and I'm sure there'll be people among our listeners who believe that ghost hunting is a lot of nonsense and that you have no scientific basis for your work. What do you have to say to them?
Well, I can see why people with more scientific minds are unconvinced, as there have been a lot of hoaxes in the past. But now, with better technology, we're able to take a lot more data and evidence to back up our sightings, although I realise that some scientists are still not convinced by that. But, well, if they're not satisfied with the data, well, I'd like to invite them on a ghost hunt and see how they explain furniture flying across a room.
So it's not just a big con. You're not just filling up people's minds with a lot of nonsense in return for their money.
Well, I realise that some people see it like that, and that's a shame. But as I see it, I'm no different from a plumber or an electrician. If someone has a problem in their house, they call me, and I come over with the right equipment and some skills, and I can solve their problem and put their minds at rest.
So, what do you recommend that people should do if they feel their house is haunted?
They can contact me via my website and arrange for a consultation. And I'm also happy to take people out on hunts if they want a spooky experience.
Well, Carleen, it has been most interesting talking to you. Thank you very much for coming in.
That is the end of part 2.